Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Since we're already looking forward to 2021, I kind of got you on that track now. In 21, would you be intentional about seeking out Jesus Christ? Because you know what? You're very intentional about going to work. You're very intentional about planning the next birthday party. You're very intentional about meeting up with those friends to have dinner, right? So we can take our mask off and look normal for all of 30 minutes. We're intentional about that. Let's be intentional about growing the kingdom in our lives. Let's be intentional about obeying the will and way of God for our lives. Not my way, His way. And then you might say, wow, things are smoothing out. Wow, we're in such a good season. You're not in a good season. You're walking the kingdom of God. You're living in His will and His way. That's why it feels smooth, because now you and God are radically aligning your purposes together. And when you radically align your purposes and will with the will of God, things change. They're different. But once again, Jesus turns the screws because He gives everything up to have the pearl. So once again, he comes back around to it again and He says to you, everything is on the table. Everything is negotiable. Everything can go if you want to have me. Everything is number two, that you would have me. Is it disruptive? Absolutely. Is it dramatic? Absolutely. Worth everything? Absolutely. Jesus, the most precious, beautiful treasure you could have. Everything on the table that you might have Him. If you ask yourself, what is important to me? And you list two, three, four things before you get to Jesus, then you know you just got to flip-flop the order of things. Because you will not be able to love, lead, kids, family. Won't be a good employee at your job. You won't do things to the glory of God until He is number one. You'll try. It'll be your own efforts, but it'll be kind of a machinery, and I'm trying, and I'm efforting, and eventually you burn out under the weight of that. But to joyfully surrender it all is to joyfully walk and live, and now you're giving everyone and anything around you your best, but everything has to be number two. The first guy was looking and listening. The second guy was intentional. Church, be intentional. Be intentional about seeking out Jesus Christ. Our second point. First point was worth everything. Our second point changes everything. Matthew 13, verse 33. Now we kind of go up in the chapter. He told him still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour. That's a lot of flour. That's a big bread batch. Until they worked all through the dough. So Jesus takes us from the battlefield to the marketplace, and now He goes to the kitchen. In the ancient world, bread was cooked at home. So your home always smelled of bread. In fact, that was most of your meal. Because poor people, maybe some fruit, maybe some vegetables. If you got lucky, a little bit of meat here and there. But typically bread was the main staple in all of these meals. And so He is saying, you know, there's this tiny little element that we use to make our bread yummy and gooey and delicious, right? As when I think of this, I think of my grandfather. When our family would get together after church on Sundays, he would make a little run to the corner market over here on Coral Way and 67th Ave, and he would come back with two or three teleras, right? We call them, of Cuban bread, and they were just out of the oven. And my gosh, if you all had them, and I know you have, right? When they're fresh and out of the oven, that the crust is still kind of hard but soft, man, I would rip off the head of it, give it to him, and I would just eat the gooey stuff in the middle. That was me. And then he ended up eating the crust by himself. He always got mad at me for that, right? But nonetheless, that's what leaven does. It's this tiny little thing that changes the composure, the complexion of the whole thing. Have you ever had unleavened bread before? It's awful. It's terrible. It's dry, tasteless, hard, like a dry cracker. It's like you got to dip that thing in something, you know? But when you add leaven to bread, look at what it turns into. It turns into Cuban bread, you know? And now we're talking. You know, now we're getting somewhere with our meal, right? Here's a crazy thing that Jesus does. For the Jewish folks, at this time, this is so good. Jesus, what storytelling. Leaven was always used to describe evil. Because one small little evil thing in your life makes everything else rotten. Let's translate that. What I always say to you as a church, don't let the devil put his foot in the door. Don't let the devil put his foot in the door of your life, because through that little crack, all of it comes in. And what was something tiny and small, and it looked like a small sin or something small evil, it ruins the whole thing. It impacts everything. So Jesus takes this example of evil, and he flips it on his head. So I just imagine the Pharisees sitting in the back listening to this. They're like, can we please get rid of this guy? He's turning our entire world upside down. He's even talking about leaven. So he turned it and he said, the kingdom of heaven is like that. And they're like, what? A tiny little yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, changes everything. It is drastic and dramatic and disruptive. Because suddenly when you have this, and of course, it's a big choice, right? I'm kind of following the text. Let's put that in quotes. This tiny little step that you take, and all of a sudden it opens everything up, and everything begins to change. And there is this kingdom transformation. That's what he was after. This transformation that the leaven brings to the bread. And it's so dramatic, and it's so different, right? That you say to yourself, how did the leaven do that? How do I get this amazing piece of bread, right, this nice gooey, smelly, oh, delicious, out of this small little thing that got mixed into the dough? But let's go a little bit deeper, because the Apostle Paul picks up on this. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It's not here behind me. It won't be on your screens. I'll read it for you. The Apostle Paul goes through a very kind of tough laundry list of sins. The city of Corinth makes Miami look like a preschool, okay? And so here's what he says. He's writing this to the church. 1 Corinthians 6, he says, beginning of verse 9, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, men who have sex with men, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to this, church, verse 11, and that is what some of you were. Paul is talking to the church and he's saying, you were that list. Paul's not in it to make friends. Obviously, he's not making friends by this, but in scripture, there's always a but. Look at how he finishes. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Also, something as small as a yes, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, sanctifies, washes, changes people from being that nasty laundry list of sin, right, into new. That's why Paul is always after old and new. Old creation, new creation. And in the middle, there's this tiny little bridge for him. There's this tiny little moment where you say, yes, Lord, I found my treasure. Yes, Lord, I found my pearl. And you go from old to new. You go from lost to found, from darkness to light. You go from hard heart to saved heart, lost soul to saved soul. That's what happens with the Apostle Paul. And he kind of tags along with Jesus here. Now, let's go a little deeper here. Because the leaven works in two ways. And we'll begin to close after this. You can see what it does and you can't see what it does. The effect of the leaven is obvious. You go from unleavened, dry, kind of nasty unleavened bread. You go to nice, gooey, you know, Cuban bread over here, waiting to be dipped into something to eat. Right? So you can see the effect. You can see the change. And church, sometimes you need to take a step back yourself, because there are moments in your Christian walk where things get fuzzy and things go sideways and things get confusing. And it's important for you to take a step back. Look at it like one of my favorite phrases. Look at it from 30,000 feet. Look at your life from 30,000 feet and say to yourself, okay, I was this way. I met Christ. And here is how I have changed and progressed. And you will see the effect of that tiny little moment when you said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I surrender all to you. You will see the progression, because sometimes it can be frustrating. It can be discouraging when you're up close and it just feels that, my gosh, am I lost? Have I lost my way? Have I gone sideways? Where am I? But you take a step back and you see this beautiful growth and progression, the gospel working in your heart. But sometimes the leaven is unseen. So in other words, if you went to a kitchen and you saw the mix of dough that they're going to make bread, you don't see the leaven in it. It's kind of mixed in there already. You're going to see the effects, but you can't see it. It's already part of the DNA of the dough. And you say to yourself, like, okay, where's the effect? Like, I don't see it. The gospel is working under your skin. The kingdom of God is being born under your skin. You can't always see it, but it's working. Again, when you back up a little bit, you see the progression of you. You see the growth of you. Ups and downs, crash and burns, high moments. You kind of see it, but you begin to see, Lord willing, an upward trajectory, a change, a dramatic and drastic kind of upward. But then there's also the unseen change where you're saying to yourself, wow, you know, I used to talk this way. I used to value these things. Now I talk and value something different. I used to like this kind of crowd or places, and now I'm over here. And there is the unseen change. It just kind of, you wake up one morning, you're like, how did I get here? That's the leaven working under, the gospel working the underneath. Now, let me address it on a church level, because I've heard this comment a lot, and we do have to be careful. Unfortunately, in our country, there is a desire to destroy the name of Jesus. I think we can all agree on that. There is a desire to see buildings like these go away. And it can become discouraging. But again, I invite you to take a step back and look at it from 30,000 feet. Let me tell you a very quick little historical story for about 20 seconds. When Jesus ascends to heaven, after he crucified, buried, resurrected, appears to the disciples, when he ascends, there's 120 disciples, basically. Let's call them all disciples. They're followers. That's all. 120. It's days later, when the Spirit is poured out at Pentecost, that Peter preaches the first sermon, that 3,000 come. But when those 3,000 get a little too comfortable about being the first megachurch, God sends persecution. The church is scattered all over the place. Along calls a guy called Paul. And he builds on that and he extends it throughout the entire Roman Empire. About 200 years later, the entire Roman Empire is Christian. It occupies most of Europe, parts of the Middle East, all of Northern Africa. And what do? They start building church buildings and creating libraries. And then what happens? Eventually people want freedom, because obviously there's the development of the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. So you have pilgrims who set up the first colonies seeking freedom here in our country. For what? Not just freedom for freedom, freedom to worship, freedom of religion. And then you have Spain doing what? Sending boat after boat after boat to all of Central and South America, starting Catholic churches, the foundation for the gospel being laid. So now the entire world, planet as we know it, is being impacted. And you fast forward to today. Seminaries, online learning, churches on every corner, YouTube channels, podcasts, websites. Should I keep going? So I say to you, in fact, look, church, on Friday, I was having a conversation with a pastor from Argentina. He reached out to our group of churches, ECO, and he said, hey, you know, we want to belong to somebody. Here's what we've done. This guy just had an idea. I'm going to preach Jesus. He had a degree, a small little degree, preaching Jesus, and he got three other guys to preach Jesus with him. They became pastors in their own right with their studies in Argentina, and now they established a little straight line down the center of Argentina. There are four bigger house churches, and they want to fill in the gaps with smaller house churches. So they're looking for more pastors. And I don't know how gossip works down in South America. I really don't know. But there's a guy from Venezuela who called them and said, hey, I like what you're doing. I want to start one here too. The gospel. You can't stop it. The government can't stop it. A president can't stop it. A politician can't stop it. A mayor can't stop it. Laws can't stop it. You cannot stop the gospel. You cannot stop the name of Jesus, because he came and there was only 120 of them. Look where we are now. You would call it a global phenomenon, because it's not a religion. It's a relationship with a Savior and a God. So church, whenever you get discouraged, remember those 25 seconds of history I just gave you. And look where we are. Are we going to be called to fight for it here in the coming future, maybe even now in our country? Absolutely, yes. I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to fight for the freedom to do this. You're going to also have to fight for the life of your neighbor, of someone in your family, of someone in your workplace. You got to fight for their life, for their spiritual life, for their forever life, the one that really counts. not the 85 and a half years you'll live down here, but the eternity that come, that's on the way. Fight for that. Stick your neck out for that. Make them know that they are that valuable to you, that you would disrupt their life dramatically in a way, drastically, that they might know Jesus. Because you have a treasure that they need to find, because you have a pearl that they need to find, because you have a gospel in your heart that they need to experience, that everything might be changed and everything might be new, that they would also become part of this phenomenon. So we close. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul talking. It'll be behind me here in just 1 second and on screens for those at home. What is more, Paul says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. I told you, he's not in it to make friends. The Apostle Paul just called your kids, your family, your career, your education, your job, all the things that you think are important, your house, your car, your boat. He called it garbage. Do you still like Paul? Do you still like him? I hope you do, because he's right. Because nothing compares to knowing Jesus Christ. Nothing compares to the treasure. Nothing compares to the pearl. Nothing can impact your life and change it and revolutionize it and transform everything that is not called Jesus. That is not the kingdom of God, his will and way for your life. Nothing. And Paul says, I consider it all garbage. The word in the Greek is something different. I'll let your imagination play with that. There is nothing worth more than the gold. Let's go back to where we started. To the gold that God has given you in Jesus Christ. God gave you his treasure. God gave you his pearl. That's what was sitting in a manger 2,020 years ago. A treasure and a pearl. God gave it to you. Let me take you deeper for a second. Because I know you've never seen it this way before. Jesus is also that man walking through a field. And when he bumps into the treasure that is you, he released his glory. He let go of his place next to God, that he would come and rescue you. You are his treasure. Jesus was the merchant searching. And when he found you, little you, pearl, he sold everything he had to rescue you. How do I know that? Because there's a cross on the wall behind me. That's your worth to Jesus. Tell me right now that somebody in your life loves you like that. And whatever comes out of your mouth, I'll say you're a liar. I'll call you a liar, respectfully and lovingly, because I love you all. That's what you do for treasure. That's what you do for a pearl. You do that on the wall. You surrender it all that we might live. And so I say to you today, if you see Jesus as God's treasure, if you truly see Jesus as God's pearl in your life, then I say to you what Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. In other words, die to everything else. Everything else is a distant number two, that he might be number one alone. That there would be a spotlight on the person of Jesus at the center of your life. Only one thing shining. Everything else fades to black. And if you do that, then everything changes. It all changes. If you take that radical, disruptive, dramatic gospel step in your life. And this Christmas, the gift of gifts, you are being given that opportunity. Myrrh, frankincense, gold. Jesus gave his life. Jesus builds the bridge. Jesus is your treasure. The only pearl to have. The only treasure to seek. The only reason to dig deep. It's him. And him alone. So today, please know that for Jesus, you are a treasure. You are a pearl. And to us, he must be our only treasure, our only pearl, our only priority. Number one, nothing else sharing that space. If you seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, everything else will be added onto you. If he is in the spotlight at the center of your life alone, standing tall, precious and beautiful, then everything else will fall in its place. You will know how to love. You will know how to live. You will know how to bless. You will know how to serve. You will know how to give if he stands alone at the center. That's gifts for Christmas. My prayer for you, church, this Christmas. And we're going to finish up these three on Christmas Eve just looking at the Magi themselves. We haven't even talked about them yet. 15 minutes of the Magi. Come at 6 o'clock on Thursday. We'll be here. Please, when you walk out these doors today and you sit in your car, you don't have to tell me you did it. You don't have to text me. But before you turn it on and get going, just say, God, thank you. I am grateful that you would give me the life of your son that I might live. That you would give me Jesus Christ, the great priest, to build the bridge. And that I would be your treasure, that he would be mine. Thank you. And then go off and do your crazy shopping if you're brave enough to go to the mall. Because it's crazy out there. Christmas 2020, for you, church. I pray you are blessed by it. And I pray that you can see Jesus ever more clearly and more preciously in these three gifts that he received, but in reality, God is giving to us through him. Can we say amen to that? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your treasure, for giving us your pearl. Thank you for the gospel, the good news that starts what seems so small as a yes and a choice and explodes into transformation and change. Thank you for the gift of that. I pray that Jesus would truly be our gold, our treasure, our pearl, what is beautiful and most precious to us. I pray that he would be that. So Heavenly Father, change our hearts in a radical way today. Change our minds in a radical way today. Change the course of our lives in a radical way today, that 2021 would be different than 2020. At an individual level, in our hearts, minds, in your will and way for us, give us the courage and the desire to radically align our purposes with yours, that we might see true transformation and gospel change in our lives. We can only find it in you. And I pray that we would always be grateful and thankful that Christmas is where we receive the Savior, where we receive your great gift for us. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, work in us. Continue to change us. We love you. Be more precious in our eyes. Be more beautiful in our eyes. Be bigger in our lives. We pray all this in the very powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.